Thank you for making Locked On Spartans your first listen every single day here in the Locked On Podcast Network, free and available where you find folks get your podcasts. Also, today's episode is brought to you by NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for a special end-of-the-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. All right, gang, on today's episode, that's right, Victory Monday, we get into, what bowl game could Michigan State possibly get into? And oh yeah, that's right, the Battle for Atlantis also happened since the last time we spoke. Let's go.
You are Locked On Spartans, your daily podcast on the Michigan State Spartans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Oh, yeah, baby. That's right. That is right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good whenever you find folks are listening to this episode of Locked On Spartans. Hey, happy Victory Monday for the 10th time this season. That's right. And for, well, the 6 out of 6 times MSU has played in the woodshed. Yeah, that's right. We're doing another Victory Monday podcast. That's right. Our Spartans, the boys in green and white, 10-2 with the massive win over Penn State to really just cap off quite an incredible, incredible regular season. We'll get into it in a hot second, but first, of course, got some housekeeping to do. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Yes, this is Locked On Spartans. I am your fired up host, Matt Sheehan. And if you ever want to reach out to me, like a few of you have over the weekend with some good questions that we'll probably get into later this week with the likes of Stephen Brooks tomorrow or anyway, lockedonspartans@gmail.com is the place to find me. And thank you for making Locked On Spartans your first listen every single day. Let's get into that game, baby. That's right. Michigan State 30. Penn State 27. Woo-wee. We like how that worked out. Scary before the game. And this was a tweet from, someone from the Action Network. The name is escaping me right now. I'm very sorry. They tweeted out that Michigan State has some flu issues going on and that they could be missing up to 20 players for the game. Now, heading into the game, before the news even broke, yes, Michigan State has dealt with quite a handful, handfuls plural, of injury issues. So yeah, awesome. A flu bug taking out another double-digit players, awesome, great. As if it wasn't going to be hard enough to beat Penn State beforehand, let's just throw that on top of it. But the boys in green and white went into the deep water, they kept on chopping, and they got their 10th win of the season in a total, complete team effort. Let's start with the defensive side of the ball. Quaveris Crouch, arguably the best linebacker, but you know what? Cal Halliday, he's the reason why it's arguable because he played fantastic with Crouch missing the game. Halliday led the game in tackles with 11 tackles, also 2.5 tackles for loss. Drew Beasley was just a man out there, 1.5 sacks, 1.5 tackles for loss, 7 total tackles. Yes, the boys got it done. Was it perfect? No, of course not. It's been the same story with the secondary all year as Sean Clifford throws for 313 yards in, yeah, just a ridiculous snowstorm. And, of course, as we all predicted, Jahan Dotson, yeah, he got his. But they tightened up in the run game. That's right, holding Penn State to 2.3 yards per rush. Speaking of rushing, yes, that's right, Kenneth Walker. Kenneth Walker, 138 yards in the snow. One touchdown, could have been two if it wasn't so slippery out there as he tried to make a cut in the 5-yard line and then, hit the ground because, that's what happens when it snows usually. But the offense was a total and complete team effort as well. Let's just start off with the play of the game, 4th and 15. Jaden Reed, sensational. Now, whether he stays for another year, whether he goes to the NFL, no idea yet. We'll get into that later on in the upcoming weeks. But man, I just really, really have to take a step back and appreciate what he's been able to do for Michigan State this season, especially with, his partner in crime, Jalen Naylor, out for the last 4 or 5 games of the season. Kenneth Walker, let's get back to him really quick, but let's actually talk about the offensive line in front of him. And I know that, a lot of times throughout the year, I haven't saying the highest praises for the offensive line. I don't think I've been too unfair to them. I just say that, sometimes Kenneth Walker really does erase a lot of mistakes the offensive line made. Offensive line held their own on Saturday. And namely, I'm talking about MSU's backed up to their 1 yard line. And immediately, first play from scrimmage, they give Kenneth a wide open hole to run through, a wide open hole to give themselves a cushion. And, well, eventually, six plays later, put the ball in the end zone for a 14-0 lead. So the offensive line did just a solid job. As solid as you can ask, they kept Thorne on his feet. Zero sacks from the Penn State defense, so they were awesome. Of course, a ton of other guys had incredible moments too. Connor Hayward, 4 catches, 60 yards, 2 crucial first downs. Malik Carr, he was another guy that had a crucial first down. Harold Joyner, 1 catch, 7 yards, but my goodness, that was a crucial catch. Montori Foster going up with one hand and getting it. It came from everywhere. It came from everywhere, and that's just what Michigan State needed. Well, with all the injury issues they have, and that's just how they operate. I mean, they just find a way to get it done. 12th game of the season, and you'd think I'd know by now to not doubt them, no matter what's going on, in the locker room or the medical tent, rather. But yeah, sure enough, proven wrong, because I really didn't think they had much of a shot of winning this game with all the injuries and whatnot. But yeah, hey, once again, happy to be wrong. Ecstatic to be wrong. And yeah, just what a way to end it for not just the seniors, of course, but just for the team in general. Really, really solid showing from the crowd at Spartan Stadium. I was lucky enough to be at the game and really appreciate it. And watching the replay on TV this morning, I think that came through on the television broadcast, how strong the crowd was. I mean, it was horrible conditions. These Thanksgiving week games are always sparsely attended. Because, people travel. It's not great weather. And, it's not like you're playing for a trip to the Big Ten championship game or anything. So, why come out? Well, Spartan Stadium did come out. No, it wasn't a complete sellout, but that's still probably one of the better Thanksgiving week games I've seen. Especially from the student section. They showed up full force, so yeah, great way to end it. Of course, the win, everyone also had a shining moment, but man, just the stadium atmosphere as well. Sensational. God, sensational. And of course, this bodes well for Michigan State and their bowl projections. We'll get into that next segment. But first, we will actually dive into our good old mailbag here at lockedonspartans@gmail.com. And my guy, Marcus Jones, writes an email. Very kind words at the front, so thank you very much, Marcus, for that. But it's a question that I want to ask Stephen Brooks about on tomorrow's show as well. But right now, I just want to hit on something that Marcus pointed out. He says, one of the things I'm hoping you can answer on the pod, now that the season is over, what are the things in this season that fans just overlooked? Outside of the obvious, like K-9 and others, because of the change of expectations that we really need to acknowledge as special for this season. And then he writes, for me, we really need to step back and appreciate what Jay Johnson put together this year, given what we saw last year. Bang on, Marcus. Super, super big shout out to Jay Johnson. He was on his game on Saturday. The 4th-and-5 call, I think it was a 4th-and-1, just doing masterful work. Well, and of course, everyone's favorite play on 4th-and-15, the sling it down to Jaden Reed play. But no, on a real note, his play designs were fantastic. They kept Penn State honest. They kept them off guard. So he completely and utterly balled out. And really, that's just like Marcus said, that it's been like that all season. I mean, it's very rare to go back and think of any games where it's like, play calling was not that great. He was fantastic. And coaching carousel is going to be pretty wild this season. As well, 5 minutes before I just hit the recording button, Lincoln Riley going to USC. Yeah, we're going to see dozens of coaching jobs, whether it be assistant coaches, head coaches. It is going to be bananas. And one thing that Stephen Brooks pointed out said, could Jay Johnson actually be a candidate for the Louisiana job? Ooh, that's right. And that's a very good point because, Jay Johnson not only has experience there, but also helps when there's an opening. And now there is, with Louisiana head coach Billy Napier taking the Florida job. So, again, don't want to talk too much about that. I want to be in good vibes. But, yeah, as we start coaching carousel season, Jay Johnson might be a guy's name who pops up here and there after a wonderful season. So we will be talking about the conclusion of this season, bold projections here in a hot second. But first, I need to talk to you wonderful folks about Prize Picks. That's right, guys. The leader in college sports daily fantasy. They offer more props than anyone in the world and offer all the star players of the Power 5, as well as the mid-major players you might have never, ever heard of. So you go to the App Store, you go to Google Play, or you go to prizepicks.com, and from there you download the app and then, of course, deposit, but not without depositing with promo code Locked On. That's right, Locked On, all one word. That's right. And from there, pick 2 to 5 players, pick their over-under on projected stats like receiving yards, interceptions thrown, touchdowns scored, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It is just you against the projected numbers. Guys, entries can be made in 60 seconds or less, and best of all, they offer safe and fast withdrawals. So do not hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and smash in that promo code LOCKEDON, or go to your app store and download the app today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. Thank you for making Locked On Spartans your first listen every single day here on the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, we are going to get to bowl projections in a hot second, but two quick things, both about football. One quick piece of news here, fourth-year junior safety Michael Dowell has announced that he will be going into the transfer portal, and actually, the Detroit News' own Matt Charbonneau had a very good eye before the game on Saturday, and he noticed that Michael Dowell was in that Thank You Seniors graphic that the Michigan State team tweeted out, so this seemed to be known by everyone, and yeah, kind of not too much of a surprise. Of course, you know, the Dowell name is a famous name in Michigan State football recently. And yeah, Michael Dowell did get a lot of run here in his time. However, since late September, we'll call it early October, his role did start to dwindle a little bit to the point where, yeah, it was not the same role he used to have. So greener pastures are out there for him. And also, don't be surprised if he's going to be the first of many. I imagine that this will be another transfer-heavy season for the Michigan State Spartans, whether it's guys going out, guys coming in. They are allowed to sign 32 members to this class, and they're going to want to maximize that. And when you have a lot of kids coming in, well, you're probably going to have some kids coming out too. So just a little bit of tidbit information for you right there. That's right, to start you off on your Monday. And also, number two, really quick, and I just want to talk about this for a hot second. And I hear it from State fans, I hear it from Michigan fans, whether it's State fans being like, oh man, I really wish we beat Purdue. It's been awesome. We would have been in Indy, or like Michigan fans are really like, oh, you guys blew it and you got blown out by Purdue. That's actually not entirely true. MSU would not be in the mix to go to Indianapolis if they did indeed beat Purdue. And it actually goes down to the fifth tiebreaker in the divisional tiebreakers to get to Indianapolis. And it would have been Ohio State going. So the first tiebreaker would be the record of, you know, the three teams. Say there were a three-way tie between Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State. And in this hypothetical situation, Michigan State beats Purdue. Okay, all Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State have one loss. Okay, so that takes the first tiebreaker out because, well, they've all beaten each other. Michigan State beat Michigan, Michigan beats Ohio State, and Ohio State beats Michigan State. All right, tiebreaker number two, the winning percentage within their division. Once again, all the same. Tiebreaker number three, the record of the three or more teams compared against the next highest placed teams in their own division. Okay, undefeated, they all had losses against each other once again. Number four, the records of the three or more teams winning percentage against all common conference opponents. They had one non-divisional common conference opponent, and that was Nebraska. That's right, they all beat Nebraska. And number five, this is where we get. The records of the three or more teams will be compared based on the best cumulative conference winning percentage of non-divisional opponents. So you take the three non-divisional opponents, the crossover opponents, and you tally up their records. Michigan State had Purdue, Nebraska, and Northwestern, and let's say they beat Purdue, that combined record would be 7-20. All right, Michigan, they played Wisconsin, Nebraska, Northwestern, that is a combined record of 8-19. And last but not least, this would have been your winner. Ohio State, you beat Purdue, Wisconsin, Nebraska, and that is a 12-15 cumulative record for your non-divisional opponents, and that would have got them to Indy. So no, if Michigan State beat Purdue, no, it still, hey, would have been awesome. 11-1 sounds a lot better than 10-2, but hey, you know what? 10-2 still sounds pretty good, and yeah, that would not have gotten MSU to Indy anyway, but Like I said, 10-2, that is still a smashing record. That is a record we are thrilled about, jazzed about, because that also most likely gets you into a New Year's Six bowl game. So let's get to those bowl projections, shall we? Really quick before I get to that, LockedOnSpartans@gmail.com. I'll shout it out one more time. Our guy Ethan sent over a question, and this is a question on top of everyone's mind one way or another. He writes, do you think that there's a possibility that the bowl committee would pass on a rematch of Ohio State and Oregon in the Rose Bowl and slide Michigan State into that game and give Ohio State the Sugar Bowl to play Alabama, Notre Dame, or anyone else or any of those other New Year's Six bowl games? It's not a 0% chance, but it is a very, 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 very low percent chance that they slide Michigan State into that Rose Bowl. This is actually from the Rose Bowl website right here. Should a team from the Big Ten or Pac-12 be selected to play in the college football playoff? So let's say Michigan handles their business Saturday. They go to the college football playoff. The Tournament of Roses will traditionally select the next highest CFP-ranked team from that conference. That will be Ohio State. I can't imagine that the loss on the road to Michigan will drop them behind a team that they just beat by 49 points. All right, that's us. So, yeah, it will be a rematch if Oregon does win their Pac-12 championship game, but no, I don't think that'll turn away the Rose Bowl from picking Ohio State. Again, it's not a 0% chance. It's just a very low percentage that they'll welcome Michigan State to Pasadena and pass over the Buckeyes, who, of course, hey, Michigan State travels well. Buckeyes travel insanely well. So, yeah, that'll most likely be the Rose Bowl for Ohio State. And then, well, what's it going to be for Michigan State then? I've got here a batch of six bowl projections. Actually, seven, but I'm only counting six here. 24/7 Sports, Fiesta Bowl against Notre Dame. CBS Sports has the Spartans. Fiesta Bowl against Notre Dame. Athlon, Fiesta Bowl against Notre Dame. Bleacher Report, Fiesta Bowl against Notre Dame. Pro Football Network, Fiesta Bowl against Notre Dame. And The Athletic, yes, the Fiesta Bowl against Notre Dame. That's a perfect 6-for-6. It is canon, according to them, that Michigan State will be making it to the Fiesta Bowl. And yeah, they say it's also against Notre Dame as well. Now, the seventh bowl projection that I've read was Sports Illustrated. They have Michigan State in the Outback Bowl. And before you drop the spoon in your cereal or drop your coffee mug, I don't take this one all too seriously, and I included this in just more of a caution to be weary of where you're getting your bowl projections from, because they have Michigan State, like I said, in the Outback Bowl. They also have Ohio State in the Citrus Bowl, Iowa in the Rose Bowl, and Michigan in the College Football Playoff. So in that world they just created, that means Iowa just won the Big Ten championship game to get to the Rose Bowl, and Michigan is still in the College Football Playoff despite having two losses, and that slides Ohio State down to the Citrus Bowl, and then Michigan State in the Outback Bowl. So not going to take that one too seriously. So yeah, and it really does make sense why all these networks and publications have the Fiesta Bowl for your Michigan State Spartans. It's because really, there aren't a lot of teams vying for spots. A lot of teams have three losses, or, you know, the two-loss teams like, well, Oklahoma, they sit at 10-2. I doubt they're going to be ranked ahead of Michigan State after, well, losing against Oklahoma State. And, uh-oh, Lincoln Riley's out of there, too. So that might not be the best draw. Well, for a bowl committee that's looking for fans to flock to their stadium to watch a good team. Because, listen, Oklahoma's used to College Football Playoff. If they don't get that, well, season's kind of a bust. Whereas, hey, Michigan State, not only do you have a fan base that travels well, you had a really surprising season that's going to fire up that fan base. And, oh, yeah, that's right. You also have Kenneth Walker. You also have a very exciting offense to watch. So, yeah, that's going to be another sell as well. So let's scale it back here. There are going to be four open spots that Michigan State can get into. And they're spread across the two teams that go to the Fiesta Bowl, two teams that go to the Peach Bowl. Notre Dame's going to get a spot. Okay, that's one. There's three left. Ole Miss is probably 98.7% going to get a spot. That's two. Wake Forest or Pitt. That's right, Wake Forest or Pitt. They're both 10-2. So whoever wins that, they will get the third spot because ACC doesn't have a bowl game affiliation like the Sugar Bowl or the Rose Bowl. So that leaves one spot. That leaves one spot, but Michigan State, coming off a win, 10-2, they'll probably be ranked right on the top 10. My guess is ranked 10th in the College Football Playoff rankings when they drop on Tuesday. That leaves them to be the fourth team. But then you look behind them, and just like I said, Oklahoma, I don't think you can count on them. Oregon, if they win, yeah, okay, they're going to be in the Rose Bowl. Wisconsin, they have four losses. Texas A&M have four losses. Like, Iowa, if they win, sure, that's what you got to worry about. That's it, because that could bump Michigan out of the college football playoffs. That will allow Notre Dame to slide into their spot. And Iowa takes up a Rose Bowl. Ohio State takes up, we'll call it the Fiesta Bowl, and then Michigan maybe in the Peach Bowl or some combination of that. So when you watch the Big Ten Championship game Saturday, that's really probably the only thing that you would have to worry about for New Year's Six. So you could look at it really as a win-win. The win-win is, all right, well, Michigan loses the Big Ten Championship game. I'm sure none of us want to see that. Right, great. Or if Michigan wins, then okay, well, that all but helps solidify a spot for the Spartans to go to a New Year's Six bowl game, which looks to be the Fiesta Bowl. Now, an even smaller percentage than Iowa winning that you got to worry about is maybe a committee selects BYU. They are 10-2, and in the last college football rankings, they are ranked one spot behind the Spartans. They did eke out a 4-point win against a struggling USC team. I don't suspect they will. They are projected in a lot of places to the Independence Bowl. That's right, December 18th, baby. And Shreveport? I have no idea how to say the name. Regardless, that is the one thing you have to worry about, because when you have at-large bowl games, there's no, I guess, protocol that they have to follow. No, it's just whoever they really want to have come down to Glendale, Arizona, or come down to Atlanta to play the Peach Bowl. So, no, I don't think that BYU gets a nod over Michigan State, but that would just be the other thing you'd have to worry about, is that they find a 10-2 BYU team more appealing than a team that went 10-2 in Big Ten play and has a Heisman contender as their running back. I'll knock on wood. I don't think we should worry too much about that. But hey, you know me. I like to worry about the smallest things in life, and yeah, so that's got my attention there. So yeah, that's bowl projection talk, baby. Michigan State looking pretty good. Nothing life's a guarantee, but it's looking pretty good. We will be back to talk. Oh, yeah, that's right. Shooty Hoops. Oh, they played, didn't they? But first, need to talk to you fine folks about NetSuite. That's right. This is it. The putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software. To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. That's right, baby. Talk about the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control for all your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. And with NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93%. Say that one more time. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. So join those 93% of businesses, guys. Over 27,000 of them have already used NetSuite. And right now, through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. So head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for special end of year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. One more time, guys, that's netsuite.com/NCAA. Awesome. Not done talking to you fine folks yet. Sorry, because we got to talk about Built Bar. Built Bar. That's right. Guys, it's here. It's the best Monday of the year, Cyber Monday, and Built.com is the place to aim your mouse. That is right. Go to Built.com and get at least 20% off of everything delicious and healthy on their website. That's right, guys. At least 20% off site-wide, with even bigger discounts on Built Boost, Broth, and Built Swag. Built Boost, going off on a tangent here, the best. It is, oh my goodness. If you've had a emergency, I guess, a comparable product, taste, oh God, 10 times better than it, and it's just packed with all sorts of good stuff. So yeah, go jump on that right now. A brand new Built Bar flavor has just landed in time for Cyber Monday as well. Caramel Almond Delight, my goodness gracious. It promises everything it delivers. Sorry, delivers everything it promises. Strike that, reverse it. Caramelized chocolate, check. Almonds, check. Delightful. Double check. Be sure to get yours before they're gone. They are just 150 calories while giving you 17 grams of protein. Guys, tis the season. Go save and give your taste buds the gift of Built Bar. So get to Built.com for these incredible tasting new bars and 20% off everything. One more time, guys. Built.com. Enter code LOCKED20. That's right, LOCKED20 before it's too late. time to get into some Bahamas bonanza talk. That's right, the battle for Atlantis. Michigan State, 2-1, wins against Loyola, UConn, a loss to Baylor. And of course, the most exciting game, arguably, I don't know, I guess the Loyola game was very exciting too, but what a comeback against the UConn Huskies. Happened during Thanksgiving, and if you were like me, it happened during your meal. And I have with me the person I'm most thankful for in my life. Yes, my wonderful wife, Sam. Sam, how you doing? Tell the fine people how you doing.
I'm great on this snowy Sunday.
Nice. Look at you. How would you say that I handled the end of the UConn game, if you'd like to speak into the mic?
Just a little rough. You held your composure somewhat. A few jumping up from the table, but other than that, you know, pretty typical meal with Matt.
And then after that win, I exclaimed to everyone that really didn't care, what did I say? That
they're never losing again.
And then what happened the next day?
They did, in fact, lose.
Am I to blame for Michigan State getting clobbered against Baylor? Is that what you're saying?
I think yes.
All right. Well, that concludes the segment then. Yep, that's Battle for Atlantis talk. No, it was a good tournament. Listen, hey, 2-1, this is what we talked about beforehand with Colton Pouncey. If they could escape the Bahamas 2-1, whether it be, you know, you lose your first or second game and you win the other two, that's fine. But the fact that 2-1 came and they made the championship game, all the better. That's just absolutely fantastic, as my goodness gracious, my wife is taking an axe to the door as she leaves. Nice. Listen, I'm not going to take too much stock into losing to Baylor by a lot there at the end. Because, hey, listen, okay, tale of two halves. The first half went fine. And then, well, Baylor pulls away as they do. I think it's a combination of two things. One, which is what Tom Izzo brought up, is that, yeah, dead legs at the end of the game, which, you know, is valid. Now, is it the perfect reason? No, because, well, you know, Baylor had to play three games in a row as well. I think it was just more so. Baylor's incredible. Reigning national champs. No question that there is not much drop-off from last year's team. Yes, they have missed a few key players, but, whoo boy, Scott Drew and company have those Bears rolling. So, no, I'm not going to be too heartbroken over that. Individually, though, it was a nice temperature check for a few players here and there. And I got written down in front of me some guys whose stock went up and a few guys whose stock went down. But listen, I want to make it clear that anyone that I wrote in the down section, it's not like I'm quitting on for the season or saying that, oh, they should leave the team. It's like, no, they're in a little bit of a funk down in the Bahamas. And, hey, you know, if you're going to be in a funk, not a bad place to do it. Just head out to the pool after, blow some steam, take the edge off. So, really quick, I'll just go through the down because I want to end this segment on a high note. AJ Hogard, stock just a tad down. He actually didn't play all too bad against UConn. It wasn't super active, but I think a lot of people remember that game being worse for him than it actually was. Yes, only 5 points. We only shot the ball 4 times, and he had 5 assists and 1 turnover. The next game against Baylor, nothing too memorable for him. Turnovers, didn't attempt a shot all game. And listen, that first Loyola game was tough, too, for him. 5 turnovers, so I have him for stock down for, well, 2 reasons. He set a high bar for himself in that Kansas game. He looked really, really, really good in that Kansas game, and haven't seen that 100% quite yet ever since that game. And the second reason is that, well, Tyson Walker's starting to up his game a little bit, right? And, of course, you're going to compare the point guard to, well, the other point guard. That's a very direct comparison you can make. So, no, like, I still think AJ Hogard is going to be a great point guard for this team. I think he serves absolutely a purpose. It's not like I'm, no, just play Tyson 40 minutes. No, he'll be fine. Also, hey, Battle for Atlantis, figure out your floors. My goodness gracious, it was like they were playing on Pam Cooking Spray out there. Like, everyone's just slipping all over the place. Anyway, Max Christie, tough week for him. 4 of 21 shooting from the field across all 3 games. And, yes, of course, Mr. Joey Hauser. Got to take a deep breath before that because I think it's become unanimous with the fan base that we're all kind of expecting a little more from him, right? Not really any sterling performances. I mean, don't get me wrong. Hey, his game against UConn was solid. Solid. 19 minutes, you know, just 6 points, but 2-4 shooting from 3-point land and 6 rebounds with just 1 turnover. So for Hauser, that's a solid game. It's tough for him. And I got a question too. LockedOnSpartans@gmail.com. But yeah, it was essentially saying, what point do you stop playing Hauser? And I don't think you necessarily can, because this is a conversation we had last week. It's who else are you going to play at the four? Like, it's pretty much Malik Hall and Hauser. And while Malik Hall has these moments where he kind of just doesn't really have a good game or doesn't look energized or engaged, you kind of need to go to someone that's there. You can't just take the floor with four players. And this is how we're going to bridge the gap between stock down and stock up, is that I think neutral, oddly enough, might be Malik Hall, because he had the game of his life against Loyola. He literally didn't miss a shot. He was sensational. And then the next two games, just 5 points total. Just 5 points total. Was not looking good. Played 15 minutes against Baylor and five turnovers and just, I think it was, what, just one field goal made. And, yeah, it wasn't the most sterling. So, listen, incredible game, but then followed up by kind of two stinkers a little bit. You want a little more out of your captain, and that's who we're going to start off with, actually, for the stock up category is Gabe Brown, the other captain on this team. We saw it in the Loyola game very early on in the second half when he wasn't in foul trouble. His energy just lifts this team up, and I know that's a very intangible stat to throw out there because you can't quantify it, but you could tell, like, this is his team. This is the Gabe Brown team early on. Now, can that change throughout the season? Sure. I don't suspect it will because, well, again, he's a captain. He's one of the longest tenured players here. But, yeah, it is a different feel with just the whole team. When Gabe Brown is on the floor, he is a leader. He is an energizer. So, yeah, I love what I saw from Gabe this whole weekend. And also loved what I saw from a young gun that had a lot of energy, especially in the Baylor game. Just because it was a loss doesn't mean it's a total dud, because Jaden Akins, woohoo! Hey, welcome, bud. He had himself a nice game, and it is just night and day how comfortable he looked. Really, kind of all three games in Atlantis, but especially the third one against a tough Baylor team. Night and day from where he looked against Kansas in his first ever college game, which, huh, funny. A few games under your belt actually makes you a little more comfortable. So, yeah, Jaden Akins, listen, it's very clear that Tom Izzo already has his eight guys he's going to be rolling with this season. In an ideal world, yes, sometimes you'll get a Pierre Brooks cameo in the first half, which, hey, he did pretty well too, if you get into foul trouble. But yeah, for the most part, this is their 7-8-man rotation, and Jaden Akins is squarely in it. And if he keeps playing like that, oh yeah, that's going to bode well for Michigan State. And last but not least, hey, Julius Marble, look at you, bud. 15 points against UConn, and if you didn't think that was impressive enough, the fact that he did it in 11 minutes was very nice. 11 minutes, 15 points in that awesome, awesome comeback against UConn to reach the finals. So, listen, I get it. Yeah, we're big, bad Michigan State. We're a blue blood, an elite powerhouse. We shouldn't be happy with 2-1, but looking back to last year, yeah, I'm going to be a little happy about what we're seeing early on this year, because I think a lot of good pieces are there. The lineup is already short, and yeah, it's a good team. It's a fun team. We're going to have more fun with this year than we will last year, and I think another good barometer is going to be Louisville on Wednesday, and we'll get more into that for Wednesday morning's episode. We'll help break down the Cardinals in their ACC Big Ten Challenge game as they visit Breslin Center at 7:15 p.m. Tickets pretty cheap right now, actually, so if you got nothing to do except head over to Breslin, yeah, go for it. But yeah, guys, that's what we got here. We'll have Stephen Brooks on tomorrow. We'll help break down the Louisville game eventually later in the week. And yeah, at the end of the week, we're going to have old friend, Big Ten Ben. That's right, Ben Stevens. He'll be joining us as well to talk about just, well, the whole football season as a whole. So, guys, that'll do it. So thanks a lot for making Locked On Spartans your first listen. And if you need a second listen, go make Locked On Bets that second listen. That's right, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling, free and available on all platforms. All right, guys, let's have a great week. Love you all. Go green.